Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air, once again with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I'm zooming in here from our Auburn office with Rosalie, who's down in LA. And yeah. A lot's been going on lately. So we were just talking about, what are we going to talk about? We had a list of things, or at least a lot's been going on in your life, right?
Well, I mean, your life is really exciting too, but I did.
Mine has been kind of dull, unfortunately.
Yeah, I did go somewhere I never imagined going. I went to Texas, which is interesting. And
you went to the Gulf of Texas too.
I did. I went to the Gulf. So that was interesting. And and I basically have never in my life had sun poisoning that I'm aware of, but apparently that's what happened to my feet. So it just became recently. I mean, I've been back for about a week and a couple of days now, and I just was able to put on shoes. So
did they blister?
Well, the funny thing is, you'd think that they would blister, but no, they just, craziest thing. It was like, I thought I had a poison reaction or something, like something wasn't right. And my feet swelled up when I was there. And then when you fly, that's not a good thing. So, so the funny thing about this whole thing was that, I laugh or I cry, right? But I'm laughing. So I had this big on the return trip, right? That's where it matters, because you're coming back to your dog,
your life,
your home, your job, all these
your kid.
Right. So I'm getting ready to return to California, and I had a 3-hour layover. You know, you got to fly Corpus Christi to Dallas and then Dallas to Burbank. And so, okay, great. So there, I have 3 hours layover in Dallas. I'm like, fantastic. That airport is enormous. There's going to be anything I could possibly want to eat or drink. Lies. So
was it all shut down, or was it?
No, I was shut down. So Corpus Christi decided that there was a lot of weather, and so we couldn't let any planes leave. So my 3-hour layover turned into, okay, if you're lucky and your plane takes
you
off
can Corpus run.
Christi this moment, you may have a tailwind that gets you, you know. So by the time I landed in Dallas, I literally was sprinting, and my feet are like these disgusting meatloafs. I'm sprinting through the Dallas airport, and right as I, you know, come up to the gate, huffing, puffing, like hysterical almost, you know, I haven't been able to use the restroom, haven't been able to get any beverage, haven't been able to eat. They're like, boarding group 7. I'm in group 7. So I made my flight home. But honestly, Andrew, I don't know what happened to these feet, but we're friends, so I'm not going to send you the photos. Okay. But they're just not right. It's been a while. So we're getting closer, but we're not out of the woods yet. So.
But you still being able to get up and walk around and stuff and just wearing shoes, having to wear flip flops or whatever.
So there's a couple spots where the sun did the most damage. And so those are actually, unfortunately, right at my feet.
So you learned a really important lesson of remembering to put sunscreen on your feet.
Don't go to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah. I have to put sunscreen on my feet, because I've totally done that myself. I'm just, you know, I got blue eyes. Everything just, I had blisters on my back from Lake Tahoe when I was a teenager, and as a kid, always getting blisters and stuff. And you can't mess around.
That's the only souvenir I brought back from the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, have fun. Yeah, so we've both been dealing with health stuff. So I've been dealing with, I got Omicron, and that kind of laid me up for 2 solid weeks and just barely getting back to it. Still feeling, I don't know, not 100% for sure. Probably like 70 or 80% back. I'm at day 16 now. So yeah, it's been a wild ride, man. I did a really good job of avoiding it for 2 years, and it finally caught up to me and got my guard down, went to a meeting with a bunch of people and went out with some friends afterwards for a couple beers at a restaurant in Sacramento, and must've picked it up somewhere down there. That's pretty much all I did.
It was crazy, because the few times that I actually, you know, called you on the phone, oh my God. I was like, do you have 911 on standby? I mean, you sounded horrible.
It was bad. Yeah. I was fortunate, because it's It got scary a couple of times because, yeah, I mean, I'm of that age where it could be a little scary, and it was never hard to breathe, but my chest was definitely heavy. It's still a little heavy. It still feels like I've got a little bit of weight on my chest, and
yeah,
it's day 16, man. I should be out of this. Finally tested negative this morning. My wife's still testing positive after 12 days. So it's been yeah. And she was a little pissed off at me. So yeah, she's not talking to me so much right now lately. I'm COVID Andy, you know, not Typhoid Mary, but COVID Andy bringing it around. But fortunately I did not pass it on to any of my family on Easter, because I had it on Easter Sunday, and we had Easter outside, fortunately. But I did go, my mom didn't come because she wasn't feeling well. And she just went to the hospital twice this month or last month. She's not terribly old. She's only 75. She's still very young, but she doesn't take very good care of herself. And we hung out in her apartment for half an hour, just chatting, 45 minutes. And yeah, fortunately I didn't give it to her. That was my biggest fear. I was going to give her Omicron because she's been very careful. And it could be bad for her. Well, and I didn't give it to my kid or her roommate. Her roommate's got diabetes. So we were a little worried about her too. So
yeah. I mean, honestly, like it's just, I don't know that I have talked to a lot of people that have kind of gone through it, you know, because I talk to you quite frequently. So
yeah.
Most of my friends that have had it are not people I talk to on a regular basis. So to hear you kind of up and down the scale and like what you sounded like and, you know, checking in, like, how you doing? You know, I know you're still kind of tired. So I appreciate you showing up, because I'll tell you this right now. This show is not the same without you. So last week,
it's so weird too, because like the people I talked to, like, yeah, I was talking to one of the guys that worked for us. It's like, yeah, I just had a snuffy nose, sore throat for 3 days. I'm like, yeah, screw you, man. Yeah.
Not what you had.
Try two weeks. I couldn't even get out of bed for a week.
Basically. I know you've been so tired and stuff. And so the first week you were out, we did a rerun of the show because we're coming up on, I want to say 4 years of this show, believe it or not. That's kind of weird, right? And so I knew that they'd be able to rerun. And so last week, the guest was fantastic. It was Dee Dee, right? But I literally, like, the red light came on and I was like, wait, what? Am I? I'm opening the show? Hello.
What do I do?
If anyone actually caught last week.
What am I supposed to
say? Right. Like, sorry. It was kind of a big, like, oh, wait, it's my time to shine. Like, I'm Andrew. So nothing is the same when you're gone. So I'm happy that you're stepping back into life. Yeah, it's much better. Much better.
Yeah. So I'm back. I'm back at work. Yeah. We had our meeting this morning. So yeah, doing stuff. So yeah, so we got a good show though. So we're kind of running a bunch of stuff on our electrical. So our newsletter is talking about this, and we've got a couple of specials that have come up, and we thought we'd talk about Zinsco panels. It's one of those products that we see quite a bit up here. They were installed during the 60s and 70s and even into the 80s under the Sylvania name.
These are electrical panels, right?
Main service panels. So, you know, I actually lived in a house on Quaker Hill Cross that had one. At the time, I didn't know any better. That was 20 years ago. And hopefully it's been replaced by now. It's already gone through a couple of homeowners now. But what are some of the things that you should be looking for in a Zinsco panel? You know, what is a Zinsco panel? Zinsco was established in 1943. I'm kind of reading off of this, and it was commonly installed between the 60s and 70s. So, you know, up here in the Gold Country, that's when a lot of the building was done, 60s, 70s, 80s. So, that's when the big push was people were actually moving up here. So a lot of these houses, a lot of houses up here have these things installed. They were a decent product. They were, you know, a little bit cheaper than others. So a lot of builders used them because they were economical. But some of the problems that were associated with them was just the way they were constructed. They used a lot of aluminum. And there was a period of time when we were using a lot of aluminum wire because it was a lot cheaper than copper. And we've since kind of gone away from that and only use it in certain instances. We're not really using it to wire whole houses anymore. But some of the things that can happen with these Zinsco panels is the breakers can fail to trip. Mm. Is one of the things that can happen. But one of the big things that happen is when you push a breaker onto the bus bar, it's actually the thing that makes the electrical connection. If that connection is not tight, you can have what's called arcing, where, you know, electricity is literally jumping between air. It's lightning, you know, it's lightning in a bottle, essentially, but lightning inside your panel. So you've got these arcing, this arcing that can happen. Arcing's hot. I mean, I've, you know, been doing this my whole life, and, you know, we kind of joked about, you know, growing up with contractor dads, and yeah, why don't you go ahead and touch that, see what happens, and then oh yeah, I got a little jump. Yeah.
Right, thanks, Dad.
electricity is pretty dangerous, and I've actually cut wires by accident utilizing my, you know, the hot wires, using wire cutters, and had it arc, and it literally, it's welding hot. I mean, it melts steel. It's so hot. So when you're getting this arcing, it can potentially make it even worse and actually cause a fire. And we've actually seen multiple houses up here that have caught fire because of Zinsco panels. We had one where the customer called us because their neighbor's house burnt down because of the Zinsco panel, you know, like weeks before. They're like, no, we're done, you know? So we went and replaced their Zinsco panel. So some of the things you're going to be looking for, Zinsco, you know, you can open up don't open up the dead plate, but just open up the door and you'll see the name on it, or sometimes actually the name should be on the top. It'll say Zinsco or Seldanium. Once you open that door and see what the color, what the panel is, what the breakers look like, the breakers are these weird colors. They're orange and green. So it's kind of, they're not black like the majority of them. So it's pretty obvious when you have a Zinsco, you can actually see the color of the breakers and know that, yeah, this is something that we need to take care of. It's, you know, and there's a lot of them out there. So if you have one of these things, it's not a matter of, should I replace this? You really need to replace this. It's not a matter of if it's going to fail. It's really a matter of when it's going to fail. The longer it's in, more and more chance you have of this thing failing. And I mean, I don't want to be an alarmist, but it's all you got to do is do a Google search for Zinsco panel failures. And oh my God, it's.
Yeah, no, the pictures are
so wrong. Many hits.
No, yeah. Let me ask you a question. I did read when I was kind of researching this issue, I did read that there are homeowner insurance, like insurance companies that will not issue homeowners insurance if you have a Zinsco. Have you found that to be the truth?
Yeah.
Like true?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's hard enough to get insurance up here as it is, being in a fire area. So you don't want to have any other marks against you for getting homeowners insurance, especially if, you know, like we've gone through it where we had, we lost, you know, you just get dropped here. So it's one of those things. Yeah, that's a good point. And you don't want to be in that situation where you get dropped and all of a sudden find out that you can't find anybody to insure you because you have a Zinsco panel. And then all of a sudden it's an emergency because, you know, you got 30 days or whatever to get it together and until you need homeowners insurance. And then heaven forbid that you got to go on to the FAIR plan. Oh my gosh, that was expensive. We had to do that for a year, but fortunately got out of that. And the risks associated with these panels, both electrical and shock, with statistics showing that they fail to function properly almost 25% of the time. Yikes. You know, that's some pretty big odds. I mean, if I was going to, I'm not a gambling man, so I can't really
use that, but 25%. I'll do this. If I were going to go into the Gulf of Mexico, never again, and there's a 25% chance a shark would eat me, do you think I would run that risk? Like, I probably would keep myself on the shore, correct? Yeah. I mean, so 25% is like...
That's huge.
That is really big when you're talking about something that would be a catastrophe for you, you know?
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, and what they're meaning by failure is the breaker's not tripping when it should. So why do we have circuit breakers? The circuit breaker is there to trip if there's a short in the system or if there's an overload. Both those things will produce heat and potentially electrocute you, but the heat is what really can get you. So if it fails, things get hot, fires happen. That's why we get electrical fires. The other thing that can happen is the arcing. So the bus bar starts to arc between the breaker and the bus bar. And we've literally seen that. We'll go in and all my electricians have like, and HVAC guys and all our technicians now have the little non-touch thermometers. And you can really see the heat that these things are producing with this. It's shocking. It's nasty stuff. So that's one thing to take a look at in your house. Cause you definitely don't, if you got a Zinsco panel, just get rid of it. Just hire, you know, do it now. you're thinking about it, don't wait. And I'll tell you right now, things are not getting cheaper, right? As everybody knows. And, you know, especially when we're dealing with commodities like copper and metals and things, things are just getting more and more expensive every day, it seems.
So can I'm going to ask a loaded question, because I know that it probably has a lot of factors that go into it. But let's say that I were to discover in my, you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, small ranch house, right? That, you know, in fact, I probably had a Zinsco panel when I lived on Banner Mountain, now to think about it. Probably, yeah. I don't know for sure. Yeah. That's something to think about. Anyway, what would me upgrading that electrical panel financially about, do you know, like, kind of what the range might be to do that?
Fortunately, I don't. I hate to say that. That's something I should have probably figured out. It's not something I deal with on a daily basis any longer. So sure. I don't know.
What kind of things would go into making that quote, that assessment? Would it be
it's a fairly big process, because of the fact that you've got to get PG&E to come in and drop the lines and rehook things up, okay. Permitting and all that stuff. So, you know, it's not a quick job. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that you have to kind of orchestrate to work together. Mm-hmm. And being in Nevada County and dealing with PG&E as of late has not been easy. Mm-hmm. And Placer County, just because of all the fires and stuff. And then also dealing with the county or the cities has also been a little difficult, because they're kind of swamped. And with COVID and stuff, it's been mm-hmm. kind of crazy. So anyway, it's a lot of moving parts to get it together to actually install a panel. But you're not talking tens of thousands of dollars. It's definitely, you know, it's under 10 grand.
And then the price,
a big number, but sure. I mean, it's thousands. It's not tens of thousands.
But the price would also, like, the quote would also involve, like, the square footage of your house, how much amperage, like what your, I mean, there's
yeah,
all
what
the
you need,
stuff.
What your loads are. Cause it really depends. Like, you know, a lot, when these were being installed, the majority of the homes were all electric. Like the house we had in Quaker Hill had baseboard heating and electric range and electric water heater. Everything was electric, right?
Yeah.
Because that was, PG&E did a big push during then to go all electric. And then we went back to gas, and now we're doing the opposite now. We're going back all to electric. That's the big push in California, and actually around the world, is going all electric and get rid of gas. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. So that really depends on, so the load, you know, what are we actually trying to do? If we're trying to cook, heat, mm-hmm. and heat our water with electricity, we're going to need a bigger panel than if we're not.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Or makes if you've sense. Got a shop and you've got a welder or a air compressor or a kiln or something like that, or electric dryer, all those things come into effect.
Sure.
Electric car. Okay. But before we stop, I did want to talk about one other electrical issue that we run into a lot. And it's kind of along the same range. It's all about arcing. It's all about overheating. It's all about potential electric fires. And this is something that I'll be honest, I did. I've installed plenty of these things in my younger years. Electrical outlets and electrical switches, they have what's called a backstabbing installation capability, which simply means that there's a hole in the back and you shove the bare wire right into the back of the outlet or the switch, and there was a little piece of metal, kind of like a shark tooth that would, you know, you push, or like one of those Chinese finger traps, you can push it in but it won't pull out unless you use a tool. They're really great for saving labor, because it makes it really fast to install as opposed to wrapping the wire around the screws. Unfortunately, they've come to be known as a fire hazard because of the fact that you're literally talking about the connection is not that great, because it's this piece of metal that's in there. And I'm doing hand signals for you, but I know no one can see this. But basically, you push the wire in, and there's this piece of spring metal in there that is holding up against the wire. That's the connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wrapped around a screw. It's literally just a little small connection. That connection can start to fail after a while and will arc and can cause fires. We've seen it. I've seen outlets that have like black going up the wall.
Yep.
Next to them that are still installed. No one's replaced them. No one's actually even called us to say, hey, you know what? I got this black soot that's coming out of the wall. Yeah, you know why they've got black soot? Because things are getting hot in there.
I've seen a few of those in houses I've lived in, by the way. So.
Yeah, it's scary. So yeah, you definitely want to replace those things, because we've seen a lot of failures on those, a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, I've seen outlets just kind of melt in the wall because of those switches that kind of just fail because of that. So yeah, it's definitely these two things as far as electrical things. Those are the two big ones that we see out in the field in terms of dangers from electricity, other than, you know, poor installation and stuff like that, where people do stupid things.
Right.
These are things that were installed at a time when it was acceptable and it was an acceptable practice. And actually, people still do this. They still manufacture them. People still install them. We don't do that. We'll wrap the wire around the screw. It's going to be a lot safer. It's going to last a lot longer and not going to have any problems with it. Takes a little bit longer. Takes an extra, you know, 3 to 5 minutes to actually install. And, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot in the scheme of things, but when you're wiring a whole house and you've got 50 outlets and switches, you know, you could save a couple hours, an hour or so by doing the stab in. That's literally what we're talking about. Saving $25 on an install or $100 on an install.
Right.
It's not really worth it any longer.
Well, is this a good moment to mention the May special that you have?
Yeah, so let's
go into
that, because we don't usually do this. We don't usually talk about advertising our company that much, but this is something that, you know, I mean, we're getting into fire season and then from forest fires, and we want to save you from electrical fires. So I'll let you lead it.
So for the month of May, basically what ABT put together was a deal so that if you were to call and book your electrical safety inspection, there's a price of $99, which is a great, I mean, that's a big savings, but special savings
it's
to
huge.
Get
yeah.
us out there so we can take a look and make sure that we check out, and the technician will have a whole checklist for you and they'll go through the whole thing with you. And then if there is any upgrades that need to be done, recommendations, conversations begin. But the main thing is like to get us out there so we can just make sure that you're looking good. Nothing is alarming. Yeah. You know, as we
if nothing else, it's just peace of mind. I mean, it's just to know that your electrical system is working the way it's supposed to and was installed well to begin with. And I did say, you know, barring any other things like bad installation, I can't tell you how many times, and I've got my house is still, we're still finding stuff at the house I live in for the past 7 years, where people have added things. Like handymen have added things and not really knowing what code was or what safe installations were. Because let's not even talk about code. Let's just talk about safety. Let's just talk about, you know, code is based on protecting property and safety. And if you can't do either of those and you're just trying to save some money and install it incorrectly and having wires, loose wires or cutting wires and splicing in midway and no junction boxes or running too small of a wire for too large of a load and the thing gets hot.
Yeah.
Those are bad things, but even barring that, things that were installed properly 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago may not actually be safe any longer, and things wear out. You know, that's the other thing. The Zinsco panels, they weren't great to begin with. Now they're 30 to 50 years old or older. Some are 60 years old. Guess what? That's got some wear and tear. There's probably, you probably got some issues going on in there. So definitely have us come out and take a look at it. Yeah, for $99, it's just a good peace of mind. If we find anything, we'll let you know. You know, if we've got to do anything, we'll let you know the price before we get started, so there's no surprises on that. What's the phone number again?
So the phone number is 530-230-9092. Give us a call, whether you want to kind of look into electrical safety inspection for the $99 for the month of May, or if you have any other, you know, plumbing, HVAC or electrical issues, we'd love to chat with you. And you can find us on the web as well.
Well, and also just really quick, also, we are doing a special for water heater inspection, safety inspection flush through the 12th of this month for, I can't remember what the price was. What was that?
$89. And
$89. We come and flush the water heater.
There's a whole thing there. Let me
make sure we check everything that's running safely, making sure that the carbon monoxide is going out through the flue, making sure all the right. Give us a call.
If you couldn't tell, May has kind of been our self-appointed safety month. So give us a call, ABT at 530-230-9092. Find us on the web, easyasabt.com. And until next week, hopefully Andrew will be with us and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.